When Jody Jaffe and John Muncy bought 50 acres in the Blue Ridge near Lexington, they knew there would be a lot of work, building a house and barn, trails and stone walls, turning the property into a home for themselves and their horses.
Of course, you have to take care of the horses and you buck hay bales. But in addition, we have this big garden plot.
He was still fit at 64, but John developed persistent back pain and agreed to have routine surgery to relieve pressure on his spine. Muncy saw no reason why things wouldn't go well.
I mean, I've never taken any medicines in my life. I'm completely healthy. I'm not overweight. I'm not anything. My heart rate and blood pressure throughout this whole ordeal was perfect.
He was in the hospital for less than 24 hours just after Thanksgiving and was quickly back to work. But by late December, his wife says, Muncy was miserable.
The pain kept getting worse. Vicodin wasn't helping. And then Saturday night, I think that's January 7th, I called Dr. Young at 10:30. And I said, this is bad. He's writhing in pain. And Dr. Young said, bring him in immediately.
Tests would show Muncy was infected with three different bacteria. Doctors tried two antibiotics before taking him back to surgery for removal of an abscess. He was in the hospital a total of 12 days and for weeks needed intravenous antibiotics three times a day at home.
The drugs come in a cooler once a week, and then we put it in the refrigerator. This is the antibiotic. This is what's keeping John alive. And this is where I can't have any air in. If I do, I can kill him. These are heparin syringes. And then these are the saline syringes right here. I'm the nurse, not anything I ever wanted to be in my life, but now I am.
No background in medicine?
Oh, my God. I faint when I see blood.
Muncy has health insurance, but his wife is expecting a big bill. Co-pays for treatment of the hospital-acquired infection. And she's not planning to pay.
Not only did they hurt someone I love, but then they charged us for it.
Stories like this one are increasingly common. Dr. Jonathan Sackier, a professor of surgery at the University of Virginia, says 100,000 people die each year from hospital-acquired infections.
Imagine what would happen if a jumbo jet plummeted out the sky and everyone on board died. Tragedy. It would be the front page of the newspaper. How would you feel if that happened the next day? The next day? And the next? That's the scale of the problem. It's a jumbo jet falling out of the sky on a daily basis.
So how could we prevent infections like the one suffered by John Muncy? And who's really to blame? We'll offer answers to those questions in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman. Yesterday, we introduced you to 64-year-old John Muncy, a man who was in excellent health before having routine back surgery. He stayed in the hospital less than 24 hours, but 5 weeks later, he was back, suffering horrific pain from three different bacterial infections and requiring another surgery to remove infected tissue.
Before the operation, he was delirious. He was shaking his head and saying weird things. I mean, I've never really seen anyone delirious from pain. He was. It was terrifying, I have to say.
Jody Jaffe is John Muncy's wife. She sat by his hospital bed for 12 days and then administered intravenous antibiotics three times a day at home for weeks. She and her husband feel sure their surgeon did everything right.
But who's to say one of the nurses didn't scratch her head or his head, or one of the orderlies didn't bring in the MRSA or the acne bacteria or the candida? They were treating him for three separate infections. Three separate infections from one operation? Something went wrong.
Muncy had surgery at Martha Jefferson Hospital in Charlottesville, a brand new medical center with state-of-the-art facilities for cleaning and sterilizing equipment. Even the hallways leading to and from its operating rooms are designed to minimize risk. Tom Dillon is a registered nurse who oversees cleaning and sterilization of operating room equipment.
So the dirty stuff came down the back hall. Everything clean is going in this closed cart straight to the operating room.
The hospital also has high standards for people who clean surgical equipment. Shirley McClary has 21 years on the job and was recently certified as a sterile technician. She shows me the text provided to all personnel as they prepare for the test. It's nearly 400 pages in length.
It takes roughly about 5 years to get a good knowledge base of the instruments that you deal with. Like you can identify a scissor, what type of scissor, because you've got numerous scissors and, you know, how they're used.
Of course, the best trained people in the newest facilities still make mistakes, especially when there's too much work for too few people. We asked McClary if she thought Martha Jeff employed enough sterile technicians.
In my opinion, no. But I'm not the one that writes the checks.
Money can be a factor, according to Dr. Daniel Sawyer, an infectious disease specialist who chaired a committee charged with limiting the risk of infection at Martha Jefferson.
Because of the financial squeeze on many hospitals, they have less money to do what they normally do. And everyone, not just our hospitals, trying to cut corners to make ends meet. There's been a push to use less expensive disinfectants, to reuse one-time instruments that are only supposed to be used one time, and to use environmental friendly disinfectants. All of that, at least in the European literature, says that it's not as good, it's not sterilized as well, and so therefore it may contribute in some way to more infections that we see here.
Martha Jefferson says it's not reusing any disposable equipment, and it never cuts corners on chemicals needed to disinfect. Its central line infection rate for Medicare patients is lower than national norms, about 2 per 1,000 days of treatment. But its nearest competitor, the University of Virginia Medical Center, reported 3 times the national average in its pediatric intensive care unit. What UVA may have done wrong and how it addressed the problem in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman. As part of the health care reform bill passed by Congress in 2010, Medicare has stopped paying for many infections acquired during a stay in the hospital. Officials hope that will force medical centers to get serious about preventing the spread of MRSA, C. difficile, and other deadly bugs. But at one of Virginia's newest hospitals, Martha Jefferson in Charlottesville, Vice President Michael Ashby says that approach may not be productive.
The assumption is that doing that will decrease healthcare-associated infections. There's not been a great deal of research to show that that is true. So we're sort of embarking on a national experiment to see if that makes a difference.
What can make a difference is constant attention to guidelines and techniques proven to prevent infection. The University of Virginia's Pediatric Intensive Care Unit, or PICU, learned that lesson after the Consumer Reports Health Ratings Center pronounced it one of the worst hospitals in the nation for infections in critically ill kids. Its rates were triple the national average. That assessment was based on 2009 statistics, and the PICU has since made changes that appeared to drop the number dramatically. First, they identified a big cause of infections, tiny tubes used to administer medication, fluids, and nutrition. Jonathan Sackier is a professor of surgery at UVA.
When you're very, very sick, you have to have a catheter put into one of the big veins in your body, and these catheters can become infected. And when they do, that is a disaster.
So the PICU began assessing every patient to make sure they really needed a central line. If so, an experienced physician was required to insert the line with a second person, usually a nurse, standing by.
Someone who can check over all the equipment that you've chosen, check your placement, be helpful in terms of having an extra set of hands, but then also be watching to be sure that the technique that we've agreed is the best and the cleanest and the safest is actually being used.
Dr. Tracy Hoke, Chief Medical Officer for Children's Services at UVA, says physicians paid closer attention to where they put lines and for how long.
We know that lines in certain parts of the body, near a potentially dirty diaper, for example, have certain increased risk. And we know that the longer you leave them in, the more likely they are to become infected.
They also came up with standard methods for maintaining a line and ask families with children in the PICU to keep an eye on staff.
The pediatric ICU, parents are around almost 24/7. With their critically ill child, we provide a place for them to stay and to sleep and wash and whatnot. So they are really the best active partner you can get. We engage parents and expect them to stand up to us if someone comes in the room and doesn't wash their hands or use the Purell, or if the Purell box is empty, to be sure that someone's notified.
1 year later, the infection rate had dropped from 6 per 1,000 hours of treatment to 4. And last year, it fell below 2. Which raises another question. Can we really expect to eliminate all hospital-acquired infections? We'll answer that question in our next report and find out whether those who get an infection would do well to sue their hospital. I'm Sandy Houseman. When you enter Martha Jefferson Hospital on Pantops Mountain in Charlottesville, you might think you've wandered into the Hilton Hotel next door. The lobby is an inviting expanse of woodwork, stone, and glass, comfortable furniture and alcoves with mountain views, a gourmet coffee shop, gift shop, and chapel. The $295 million building opened last year, offering private rooms for patients, spa-like bathrooms in the birthing center, in short, the promise of a comfortable stay. But there are some unwanted guests at this and other medical centers around the world, bacteria and spores that cause deadly infections. Dr. Daniel Sawyer chaired the hospital's Infection Control Committee for a decade.
Most of the infections come from the patients themselves. Their own flora on their skin, it's extremely difficult to sterilize the skin. And if you looked at the surgical site before they close, sometimes you can find bacteria. For the back operations that we're talking about, 3 or 4% of the time, we'll see an infection.
Sawyer is referring to the case of John Muncy, a Lexington man who came in for routine surgery, left the hospital after less than 24 hours, and was back with a raging infection about 5 weeks later. Hospitals often provide patients with a special kit to clean the skin before surgery. Doing so drops infection rates by 66%. But Muncy says he never got a kit. So would he be wise to sue the hospital? Tom Hafmeister thinks not.
Most people who sue do not prevail.
An associate professor of law at UVA, Hafmeister teaches a course called Medical Malpractice and Healthcare Quality. Historically, he says, courts have not held hospitals responsible for the outcome of treatment.
The delivery of health care was seen as the responsibility of the treating physician, with the hospital simply providing the building, the tools, and ancillary staff.
That's changing a bit as hospitals put growing emphasis on their bottom line and patients begin to perceive them as corporations.
Hospital immunity from medical liability has been eroding in recent years. There's an increasing view by the courts that hospitals have a responsibility to provide an environment that helps patients get better and doesn't make them worse.
Muncy's wife, Jody Jaffe, agrees, and she'd like to see a law passed that would protect consumers from the obligation to pay when someone develops an infection in the hospital. She's also written to Sentara, the regional medical group that merged with Martha Jefferson Hospital in 2010.
Sentara posts net revenues of $3.5 billion a year. Its CEO, David Byrne, made $3.5 million in 2008. If I were Mr. Byrne, I'd reach into my own very deep pocket and fund an infectious disease doctor position at all my hospitals. Because how these guys can sleep at night knowing 100,000 people die each year from hospital-acquired infections, many of which can be prevented, it's shameful.
A spokeswoman for the hospital says Martha Jeff and Sentara devote considerable dollars to assuring safe care. The issues raised by the Muncy case will be debated for years to come, as healthcare reform promotes a new approach to medicine, the Accountable Care Organization. Under our current system, hospitals and medical groups make more money if treatments don't work and patients get sicker. Under accountable care, failure to provide effective treatment could mean no reimbursement from Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. And success could allow hospitals and medical corporations to share in the cost savings. This is Sandy Houseman reporting.